I want to ask you a very pointed question, because I've been, of course, enjoying your content because you put out so much great stuff. And as you know, I asked you if I could use you as an example for an upcoming presentation I have. And you guided me to one of your most recent posts. And I'm glad I checked it out a little more closely, because when I looked at it initially, I see your stuff right away. So I hop in, I read it, I appreciate it, I like it. You know, I'll make a comment on stuff that I feel I have something meaningful to add to it about, and then I'll move on, right? So in going back to the one you were talking about, I take a look at it and go, oh my gosh, 262 comments and 120,339 views. What went on? Because when I looked at it, it was like, you know, 5 views and 2 comments or something. Let me just read it to the listeners here. And again, before we get going too far, I'm talking to Sarah Gross, who is a really great, deep LinkedIn bud of mine. And she's really breaking things. I mean, one of the things I love about your profile is it says, Sarah Gross, breaking things. And then it mentions the company you work for. But boy, you almost broke LinkedIn on this post. And this is all you said, at least in the written part. I'm 21 years old, living completely independently. I pay my own bills, I wash my own clothes, and I even do my own dishes. When I dropped out of college, I had to be scrappy, budget my expenses, plan ahead, and see what I could get for free. I'm going to say that twice because that's what the video is about. And see what I could get for free. Because when you're living to survive, your only option is to have a growth mindset. Can you tell our listeners what that video was about and why it blew up to the point where almost 130,000 people saw it on LinkedIn?
Yeah. So the video was, kind of a little bit of background behind the video and why I posted. So I'm doing this, I call it content sprints. And my content sprints, I label them as Tech in 10, and I actually created an entire hashtag around it. So maybe every quarter, every 3 months, I do this content sprint where I talk about technology. And so this time it was 1 minute tech hacks, where I know all these like small little tricks that I'm 90% sure that most people don't. And so I was explaining this tech hack in 60 seconds. And basically what it is you can take your email address. And let's say you want to sign up for a free trial. Well, your email address is only good for one email trial. So if you wanted to create more free trials, you could either create multiple email accounts, or you could do this hack that I know, which is, let's say my email is sarah@google.com. I would add a +1 to it. So it'd be sarah+1@google.com. And to that website, to that like account that I was creating, this like website that I was creating a new trial to, it would assume that email was a brand new email since it didn't match up to my original one. But to me, I get everything bounced back to my original inbox. So to that new account, I'm creating like multiple free accounts and they have no clue about it. And so I posted that, it absolutely blew up. And actually, I was getting a lot of comments, not just about how awesome the hack was, but it was also a lot of comments saying, you're a thief, you're stealing. And then other people were commenting, well, you're 21, do you want a prize? And then other people were commenting, I was in the military and I've had to fight for my, not only for myself, but for my country. And do you want a prize for that? And there was just so much controversy going on that I tried to respect everyone in the comments, because the comments are a place where everything is public. Any employer, any current employee could see. And I was just trying to poke at conversation. So there was one comment in particular saying, I should go back to school. Didn't know the guy. I've never seen him pop up in my notifications of him before. But just after reading this one post, after seeing this one video, he decided I need to go back to school. So I just asked him, well, why do you think that? And that started a chain of almost 30 comments between myself, with him, other people jumped in. And that is how I eventually got so many views, so many likes, and so many comments, is just all this conversation going around. And on top of it, it's a hack that not many people know.
It really did blow up in a big way. And as you say, there were a number of different topics actually happening in that post and in that video. The video itself was exactly what it purports to be, which is this is a hack. And hacking is right in that gray area of, is it legal? Is it illegal? Is it a white hat thing? Is it a black hat thing? And so it was truly a hack, not like a lot of people's hacks, which are actually, well, that's conventional wisdom. Thank you very much. This was a true hack where you can decide whether you like it or not, but it was exactly what you said it was.
Yeah. And I actually, I had a conversation with my mom actually last night, and she's a 30 year plus QA software tester, quality assurance tester. And kind of her perspective on it was, well, it's definitely not illegal because it's technology. They're giving you this option, but what's questionable is it ethical? And that's what people are kind of having trouble with is, yes, you could do this. One example on the through the comments was if you went to Costco and you ate some samples, you left and you disguised yourself and you went in, you're stealing. Well, Costco also has security cameras. They have people who are making you check out, making sure everything on your receipt is there. And so I technically didn't buy the samples. So who cares if I take 10? Who cares if I take 20? As long as there has to be someone there who catches me to tell me no, because it's my ethics and it's kind of like what I think is right. And I didn't say that I thought it was right. I didn't say I thought it was wrong what I exposed to the world. I just told everyone it was there.
And the one thing you could do for the developers, and I saw some CFOs or CTOs of companies responding back to you not so favorably, I would say to those guys, hey, she just pointed out a flaw in your security or a hole that you guys might want to plug. And by the way, I'll be honest with you, I've got more than a little Captain Jack Sparrow in me when it comes to this type of stuff, because when you see that Facebook is exposing 6 million people's details on, you name it, the whole Cambridge Analytica thing, it's like, wait a minute. So you can do whatever you want with my stuff. And the second that I might do something that you aren't super happy with, all of a sudden the ceiling is going to fall down on me?
That's exactly why this hack exists, actually. So the plus, it's actually adding a tag to your email so that you can understand where your email is being shared. So let's say I sign up for a free trial for Netflix, and I use the email sarah+netflix@gmail.com. And then all of a sudden I'm getting emails coming from all these other places. Well, I know that I shared my email with Netflix using this account because I tagged it. And so that's actually why this hack exists, is to understand where your email is being shared.
Does that type of sub-addressing work on systems other than Gmail?
I don't believe so, but if you have a company account that is connected back to Gmail, so it could be sarah@company.com. If it's all linked through Gmail, then it should work.
Well, the main thing that I'd like to point out is that Sarah is being true to her brand. When she says she's breaking things in her profile on LinkedIn, she's breaking things, including LinkedIn. And just for averages, I look at your posts and I see that an average post gets around 8,000 views. So the video ones will trend upward to maybe between 10,000 and 20,000. So that many views is to be expected. You know, let's say 8,000 is an average. And this video had been viewed 120,000 times. Wow. I mean, obviously touched a few nerves. Big nonfiction brand point I want to make is Sarah's being Sarah. And there are plenty of people who don't like her, but boy, there are some people who are passionately in love with you when it comes to what you're doing and the way you're doing it. And I know you're not a high percentage player. You're not looking for numbers. You're looking for quality engagement. And I wanted to ask you about that too, because in one of your posts, you shared how you can turn off the connect button on your LinkedIn profile and turn it into a follow button. And I wanted to talk to you about that, because there are kind of two strategies out there. One is the lion strategy, the LinkedIn open network. I mean, sometimes you'll see someone with a LION, all caps, in their name. Well, that means I'm open to link to anybody because I'm a member of the LinkedIn open network. there's another strategy, which I'll call the Sarah strategy, which is I don't want to connect to everybody. I want to connect to quality. So can you talk about that, the difference between following and connecting from your point of view?
Yeah. So for me, I know that one, the topics that I talk about are kind of controversial in hacking. And so I really, and then there's kind of also the idea of I only want to connect with people who I can actually talk to and I have the time to talk to. And I'm not in the business of being everyone. I don't want everyone to just know my name. I want them to know my story. I want them to have like this actual connection with me and so that I can help them in the future and they can help me. And I can't do that connecting with hundreds of people a day. Some people love it and some people don't. And so for me, what I've seen is it's really helped my reach. It's helped my engagement too. If I make a post and every single person who I'm connected with likes it versus if I'm connected with hundreds and thousands of people and maybe only a small percentage actually like it. It's helped my reach, like I mentioned, and it's helped me declutter my feed. And so I kind of like to think of my profile as a content curator, as well as a creator, where every single person in my profile, they create awesome content. I want to like their stuff. I want to comment on their stuff. And what that actually does is it reshares it automatically with my network, even if I don't actually physically share it. And so that's kind of how I think about it. I want to make sure that my content reaches the right people who enjoy it. And then also I can enjoy my connections content as well. So that's my strategy on it. I do have a bunch of people, even in my network, who are Lions or LinkedIn open networkers, and they're awesome. They do their thing. It's definitely two different strategies. It also depends on kind of what business you're in. I see a lot more salespeople doing a lot more open networking because their idea is, hey, maybe I'll throw out some content and the more connections I have, the more people I can message and the more people I can kind of like continue poking with my content. And that's just not my strategy.
This episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast is brought to you by Nonfiction Brandversity. It's a free Facebook group dedicated to the art and craft of personal branding. And we'd like to invite you. Just search Nonfiction Brandversity on Facebook and ask to join. You're in, guaranteed. I can't wait to see you on campus.
I really started thinking about it since you posted that. And in the past, I'd been, yeah, the more people you connect to, the better, right? Well, for all the reasons you spoke about, I found that that's not necessarily the case. And there's almost a perfect correlation between people who have that lion in their name and salespeople, or people who are what I like to think of as drive-by LinkedIners, which is they'll turn their head as they're driving past you, look at you and go, oh, cool, and then try to connect just to play a numbers game instead of a quality game. So I'm all with you, quantity, not quality. Or wait, let me say that again. I'm just like you, all about quality, not quantity. And so consequently, I took your recommendation and I changed my connect button to a follow button. And that, again, doesn't preclude anyone from requesting a connection. It just really kind of indicates that I'm a little bit more interested in a follow relationship. Let's connect after that relationship has proved itself out a little bit further.
Well, yes. And also kind of what I've seen. So when I know whenever I do these content sprints, I get thousands of, I'm not even kidding you, thousands of connection requests and maybe a few less followers. And so this is actually the first time I reversed that sequence where I've gotten so many more followers and less connection requests. And what that does to me is one, it gives me less of a headache because there's a lot of people out there who maybe have fake profiles or never use their LinkedIn. And as someone who plans on being on the platform for many, many years, you have a limit to how many people you connect with. There's 30,000 people, and that might sound like a lot, but I mean, if there's over 500 million people on the platform, it'll go like that. There's two other strategies that I didn't talk about. And one is if you change your connection button to a follow, the people who connect with you are more familiar with the platform. And that's because they know how to connect. A lot of people just drop on your profile, see that button and just do it. when you change that button to a follow, you have to go and there's like three little dots, the see more dots. You have to click the see more and you have to send a connection. Or it's a two-step process versus a one. And so that kind of filters through the people who are more familiar, more advanced with LinkedIn itself. And that just kind of vets them in the beginning. And then my other strategy that I didn't mention was I'm very strategic about people who I want to connect with. For me, it's people who I can teach, who I can learn from, who I can do business with either now or in the future, or maybe who I want to do business with, and people who could possibly employ me. And what's really interesting is people who I'd want to do business with. It could be like actually doing business with, or it's just people who, if they said, hey, let's start a business, or hey, I have this business and I wanted to partner with you, I'd be like, hell yeah, that's what I want to do. And those are the kind of people who I want to connect with. It's not literally doing business with them, but the idea is if they'd ask, like their morals align with mine, their kind of like chutzpah, as I like to say, align with mine. And it's just someone who I want to connect with.
Yeah. Well, I think of it as the flock you want to fly with, literally. Exactly. And you may not be flying at that level yet, but by associating with them, you'll get there a whole lot faster, especially if you aren't being dragged down by people who are grandma and grandpa who hit the connect button just because it's the one right in front of their face.
Totally. But I do have to say, it's funny. My grandpa just got a LinkedIn account just to follow my stuff. And he's awesome. It's funny. He has two first names because he doesn't know how to take away the second one.
Oh, gosh. You got to love that. So when you do a sprint, what does a sprint consist of?
So for me, it's 10 days. So the hashtag that I use to kind of like contain the sprint is tech in 10. So it's hashtag tech in 10. It's 10 days. I try to post every single day. I make 10 posts and it always contains that same hashtag. For me, it always is around the same topic. So technology, either hacking it, using it, new ideas around it. And that's really a sprint. And what I've seen is you should be consistent with your posting content. You should be posting multiple times a week. But for me, I realized that it's tough to post every single day. And so this gives me an excuse. It gives me a purpose and it gives me kind of a topic to post about every single day for 10 days. And so just by doing that, I've seen, it's crazy. I can send you a screenshot. I've seen like spikes in people who view my profile, who engage with my content. I don't normally have over 1,000 people engaging with my content. So you can really see the difference when you post consistently for 10 days. And this is like great content. Before I never came up with a plan on what I'm going to post about during the sprint. This time I actually did because the topic was very narrow. It's 1 minute tech hacks. I have to make everything under a minute. And so just this one, I've seen a massive spike in engagement. And then once I stop the sprint, I'll see it kind of die down a little bit, even out. I'll like flesh out the people who are actually connections and who engage with my content and continue to. But that's a sprint to me. It's just 10 days, every single day, powerful, meaningful content every single day.
Well, and we're recording this on Saturday, December 22nd, 2018. And actually, you're in the waning stages of a 10-day sprint. Day 7, posted 18 hours ago. And and I'm looking at these and I'm going, okay, posted 18 hours ago and it's already got close to 6,000 views. The one from yesterday got 13,000 views. The one from the day before, 21,000 views. The one before that, only 6,000 or close to 7,000 views. So they go up and down. Oh, and then the one, day 3, was the one that got 120,000 views. So yeah, I can see exactly what you're talking about, which is you habituate people to expect something from you. And oh, the first one was good. The second one was good. The third one was good. I can't wait for the fourth, the fifth, the sixth, the seventh, the eighth, the ninth, and the tenth. And sure. That's how you really build credibility in people's minds. And again, you probably lost some people by having a very strong opinion and sharing a hack on day 3. But I'm guessing you gained more than you lost. And since your personal brand, your true nonfiction, true to yourself, completely you, completely true brand, is I don't mind being a little provocative. I don't mind being a little bit in the gray areas of life because, one, you're 21 years old, you're a college dropout, and you got to be scrappy. I think of the lines from Hamilton about being young and scrappy, and you're Hamilton in action right now, Sarah. And I love seeing it because I'm substantially older than you. And this is the type of chutzpah that people in your peer group are not supposed to have, except for the ones that do, and they have it in spades.
And kind of, I like to think of myself as a disruptor. And even before I did this whole LinkedIn content, I was disrupting. So when I was at school, the reason why I dropped out was because I sent 5,000 emails to students and to like really everyone on campus to talk about an event. And even in the subject line, it was very disruptive. The subject line was lost keys on Marshall Street. And the only people who are losing keys on Marshall Street are drunk people who get completely blasted, lose their keys, and the next morning wake up and are like, where is it? So just by sending that email, the campus went in like this crazy funk. And I was actually kicked out of this entrepreneurial program that I was running. And then on top of that, I was offered a full-time job. And so I dropped out of school, which was, even my family was kind of like taken back a little bit. Like every single person in my family has graduated from college, just period. And just taking that leave was like, I've got to go against a lot of opinions. And then actually coming out to LA, I was fired from my job that got me here because I was doing a lot of disruption. I was building my own personal brand. And so it's kind of like a theme that I've always found myself in is just being a disruptor, always thinking a little bit differently. And like I say, I break things. And it's not just literal things, but it's the way you think of things, the way things are supposed to work, using it a little bit differently so that either the rules change, the purpose changes. To me, breaking things means change.
There's a lot of change going on and you're driving a lot of it, especially on LinkedIn, because again, for those of us who joined LinkedIn in, I think, 2006 or something, and then watched it be nothing but a resume, like an HTML resume for 10 plus years, seeing it open up into becoming a true social network has been really eye-opening, ear-opening, life-opening in a lot of different ways. And it's really cool that it's not just the people who've got 20 years in the game telling you the rules of the game. It can be someone like you who says, wait a minute, I'm going to make my own rules. And maybe you don't love it, maybe you do love it, but you're definitely getting people's attention. The other thing that I'll be honest with you that I like you bringing up and your story brings up is the social assumptions of the United States of America are changing. And what I mean by that is just like your family, everybody goes to college, you have a loan debt that you have to pay off for the next 10 years, and then maybe you get married and have kids or whatever. Well, the reality is that you come out of college now and that debt load could be bare minimum 50 grand, probably closer to 100 grand. And there are a lot of people who are asking the question of, does it make sense to go to a four-year college, traditional college, when if you have the skill set and the ability, you can do a different path? And that's certainly one that you're doing, and you're not alone in doing that. So it's interesting, and it's causing a lot of traditionally minded people to kind of maybe wake up with a crabby mood because, wait a minute, you're questioning my assumptions about what is possible in this day and age. But that's the reality of it, because being saddled with 100 grand in debt, are you kidding me?
And I think a lot of kind of my generation, they're super, super entrepreneurial, like crazy innovators. And they just have this taste of something that they can't really touch yet, but they want to be able to touch it. And so that's kind of where I think this new way of thinking is coming in. And don't get me wrong, like if I didn't go to college, I would not have been here. The first 2 years I was there, all I was doing is making connections with professors, with students, with program directors. Every single person who I could connect with, I would, not on LinkedIn, but like person to person. And actually college is the reason why I have a LinkedIn, why I was comfortable with posting on LinkedIn because I was posting my entire journey, the things that I was doing in college on LinkedIn. And so when it was time to kind of leave and be on my own, I was comfortable to one, get on video, continue to post what I was doing, because the hardest step is just to start. And so the hardest step for people to drop out is to announce and actually do it. And so I just think that like Gen Z is about to take over. There's going to be crazy, crazy new things, especially in the next 5-10 years, where we think we have it all. We think we have all this technology right now, but in the next few years, I think we're just going to all be so blown away.
Yeah. I was just editing a podcast that will air on Monday or maybe the following week with Don Stanley, who's a instructor at the University of Wisconsin-Madison here. And he teaches undergrads and grad students digital marketing, personal branding, et cetera. And I asked him the question about LinkedIn. How many students has he taught that come into his class with a fully formed LinkedIn persona or LinkedIn portfolio, if you will? And he said, out of the thousands of students he's had since 2008 that he's taught this class, two have had that LinkedIn presence fully fleshed out. What was your experience at, where was it, Syracuse?
Yeah. So there definitely wasn't a lot of people on LinkedIn. The class that I was taking was an intro to technology class, and it kind of touched upon probably like 50 different topics, very low level, just to get you exposed. And so one of the first lessons was how to be an entrepreneur in tech. And so we had to create a LinkedIn profile, and we had to show that everything was complete, and we actually had to connect with the professor. And so that's what got my profile. And then to get me posting, I was the president of the, first I was actually, it was called the director of program at the Entrepreneurship Club. And so my responsibility was to reach out to entrepreneurs, get them to come to weekly meetings and give us their story, give us their business plan, whatever they want to talk about, but just get them in the door so that we have people showing up every week. And so to me, it was just like so obvious. LinkedIn was the perfect place. I could look for alumni within the, like in the Syracuse area, so they wouldn't have to fly out. They'd already have a connection to the school, so we wouldn't have to convince them. And we kind of like staged it as giving back to their alma mater. So that was like the easiest win. And then I reached out to a few people and I got some response, and I was like, well, what if I just posted what I was doing with the Entrepreneurship Club so that maybe it would be a warmer connection. Maybe it would be a warmer conversation. They already might have been familiar with it. I could give them some content that they could see how awesome we're doing in the club, and it would be worth their hour to come and share with an exciting group of students. And so that's how I got on LinkedIn. There was probably no one else there. I did encourage all my executive board members to post and kind of like promote the club and engage with my content, but they had other focuses and they had other strategies on how to get people into the club. But what's interesting now is LinkedIn has been blowing up their campus editor program. It's huge now. Almost like, I want to say I'm connected with maybe 20 campus editors, and they're all crushing it on LinkedIn. They're on there all the time, posting great, great content. They have a hashtag called On Campus that they post about, and it really connects the entire nation and even internationally what's going on student campuses. And it's things that are like, this is what's going on in my class, to I just accepted my first real job after college, like give me advice, to even I'm thinking of dropping out. So it's this whole kind of spectrum of content coming from student creators, which is awesome. But I do think that professors are leaning more towards getting students on LinkedIn. There's an awesome professor from Georgetown. I think his name is Eric Costier. I never can say his name right. But he writes books with his students. And what his course does is that his students have to pick up a topic. They have to find people to interview. And so he encourages people to find people through LinkedIn or their own ways. But he also has a podcast on LinkedIn to enlighten and enrich all of his students, which I think is just super, super cool. And at the end of the day, they get all these crazy job offers because they're having conversations with their with people who they could only dream of. They have this awesome piece of content, which is their book, where they can show employers, hey, this is what I did. And like, who do you know in college? One, has a LinkedIn, and two, has written a book. And three, like, he has his own platform too, like I said, like his podcast, where he has his own followers and they're all listening. And it's just this awesome platform. And so that's just one example. I'm actually helping another professor in the fall to write a course just about social selling, and specifically through LinkedIn. And so it's super, super interesting because it is one of the only platforms where you can sell to people. So when people say social selling, I instantly think of LinkedIn.
Well, there you go. And I think that's a great way to wrap up this episode of the Nonfiction Brand Podcast. I've been delighted again to speak with Sarah Gross. If you haven't checked out the, what was it, hashtag on campus, hashtag on LinkedIn.
If hashtag you're on campus.
Hashtag on campus. If you're a higher education oriented individual or in education, I would encourage you to check it out and see what other people are doing with this platform that is, quote, all business all the time. Well, actually, it's a whole lot more. And this is a great way to find out more about that. So thanks so much. We're going to continue this conversation into the next episode, but I've got to sign off this episode by saying, don't forget, become a member of Nonfiction Brandversity, the free Facebook group. Just search Nonfiction Brand on Facebook and ask to join, and you are in. I'm DP Knutton, and she is
Sarah Gross.
And I'll talk to you next time. Bye-bye.